This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Markowitz, B'shus, Rav Schechter, Rav Yudin. I want to address a question, a very difficult question, a very painful question. Perhaps part of the nechama will be in addressing this question is that we are not the first ones in Jewish history to ask this question. If you remember, not all that long ago on Tisha B'Av, so in one of the kinos, towards the very end of kinos, so there is a phrase that is found that I think really speaks to where we are today as a Jewish people, particularly at this moment in the calendar, as I mentioned a moment ago. The Baal HaKinos raises a question for us, almost rhetorical question. Eich esmach od b'chag? How will I ever be able to rejoice again during the Yontif of Sukkos? I do not remember precisely what year this kinnah was written in, but suffice it to say, this question is at least in writing close to 1,000 years old. And no question that this was something that was posed throughout our history from the very moments post the Churban. One can only imagine what the Jewish people felt like on that very first Sukkos after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, just a few short months after Tisha B'Av. Eich esmach od b'chag, after all, the days that are designated as Man Simchaseinu, culminating where we celebrate today with Simchas HaTorah, but the entire Yontif of Sukkos is Man Simchaseinu, the time of our great abundant joy. How could we practically be in a state of Simcha in the midst of such tragedy? A question that was posed at the time of the Churban, was restated in the Middle Ages, and of course is something that's very much and rightfully so in our minds as we speak. In a little bit of a twist, almost like a tragic irony, I noticed something this year, right before Kinos. I shared with my shul during Kinos. I'd never noticed it before because it was really irrelevant until this particular year. Right before Kinos was starting, I was just kind of quickly reading up in my art scroll, English Kinos. I was reviewing the Hakdama, the introduction that was written by Rabbi Feuer as he put together the translation and some of the works, the compendium on the English Kinos to the art scroll. And truth be told, I probably read it many, many times over the years. But I was just browsing over it. I had a minute or two before Kinos started. And it struck me almost like a lightning bolt. Rabbi Feuer writes in his introduction that he started writing his Perish on Kinos the day after Simchas Torah. This was, I don't know how many years ago, 30, 40, about many years that the Oslo Kinos English version has been around. It was the day after Simchas Torah. And it was very difficult for him to begin to work on his Perish, on his commentary on Kinos. And he actually called his Rebbe, Rabbi Gifter Zatzal, to ask him, how is he supposed to put himself into the mindset of writing a Sefer on Tisha B'Av on the day after just dancing with such exuberant joy with the Sefer Torah? It was so strange. It was such a strange contrast of emotions. How do we deal with that? And Rabbi Gifter answered him, whatever the particular approach was, and it struck me that that question that was posed 30, 40 years ago, this year doesn't have to be posed. This year, L'tzareinu HaRav, the question was almost reversed, was flipped. Namely, on the day of great Simchaseinu, in a certain sense, the happiest day of the Jewish calendar, the time of Simchas HaTorah, to be so marred, to our joy, to be so affected, such tsar. So the question that we ask in this year is not how we could write kinos on the day after Simchas Torah. The question that we ask is, Eich esmach od b'chag? How could we celebrate Simchas Torah following the year that we have, particularly commemorating the events of Simchas Torah itself? So I do not pretend to be the person to speak for Klal Yisrael. This is something that people with much greater shoulders than myself, to be able to give a real clear cut in terms of halachically hashkafically, what our approach is supposed to be. I want to almost discuss the sugya together. I want to learn a little bit together this morning the sugya of simcha, the sugya of avelus and tsar, and the interplay between the two, and maybe throughout the course of this morning's discussion, at least we'll have a marim makom, we'll have an approach, we'll have a path to be able to try to make some kind of a mahalach, some kind of an approach to how to deal with these competing and conflicting emotions. So let's begin by learning the sugya of simcha together. Just what the role of simcha is in the world of halacha, in the world of machshava, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, and what role simcha plays in our lives. So there is no question that simcha is a major fundamental halachic component of so many different mitzvos. There are mitzvos, there are times when we are required to be in a state of simcha. First and foremost, on the Yom Tovim, v'samachta b'chagecha, there is a Torah obligation to be in the state of simcha. There is a fundamental machlokes, a dispute between the Rishonim, how that mitzvah plays out in today's world, post the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara on the one hand speaks about the Iker Simcha, the primary Simcha being the partaking of special korbanos sacrifices that are brought in the Beis HaMikdosh, Aliyah L'Regel, visiting Yerushalayim, celebrating together in Yerushalayim and Mikdosh. According to the opinion of Tosfos and Maseches Moikoton, that is the Simcha that the Torah mandates. When the Torah speaks about V'samachta B'chagecha, it means in Beis HaMikdosh, B'zman Shem Beis HaMikdosh HaKayim. When we speak about simcha today, whether that simcha takes the form of basar, v'yayin, meat and wine, spending a joyous time with our families, buying gifts for our wives, whatever the case may be, whatever expressions of simcha sayom that we have today, Tosfos suggests that is all midirabbanan, that is all rabbinic of nature. The Torah model of simcha is simcha samikdosh. You cannot have simcha out of the context of Beis HaMikdosh. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam Hilchos Yontif presents that there are actually two different aspects of Simchas Hayom. There is Simchas HaMikdosh, even according to the Rambam, that is the primary part of Simchas Hayom. But there are what we call Shar Simachos. There are additional manifestations of Simcha. Anything and everything that helps you in the state of enjoying, rejoicing on Yontif is a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Rambam singles out for those who enjoy basar and yayin, meat and wine, those who enjoy other things, whatever the case may be, those are all expressions of V'samachta B'chagecha. So practically speaking, of course we do observe Simchas Yontif today, whether it's been HaTorah, whether it's been D'Rabbanan, is an important machlokas, it has significant applications in terms of understanding what the mitzvah of Simcha is all about, machlokas din Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam adds on, when he discusses Simchas of Yontif, so the Rambam says Simcha is not just action. One cannot take the approach, I'm just going to go through the motions, I'm going to have my meat and have my wine and be in a miserable mood, says the Rambam. No, that a person is required to be sameach v'tov lev, a person is required to be in the state of emotional simcha, a mindset of simcha, during the duration of the entire yontif. The Rambam includes in this, of course, the shalosh regalim, and the simple pshat the Rambam, we're going to qualify this a little bit as we go on. The Rambam seems to say that at least to some degree this applies to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim as well. So there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, either Deraisa, Derabonon. There is Simcha Hamaisim, actions. There is Simcha Salev. These all encompass the general mitzvah of Simcha. Then we find that there are other opportunities, other scenarios that also warrant Simcha. We just read in last week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh, how the Torah speaks about coming to the Beis HaMikdash, not necessarily on Yontif, coming to the Beis HaMikdash to offer karbonos, v'samachta ata oveisecha, you and your family have to rejoice together. The Torah speaks about eating ma'aseh sheni, every four out of the 6 years of the agricultural cycle, so you have to bring a tenth of your crops and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it b'kedusha b'tahara and sanctity and purity. And once again, the Torah says, v'samachta lifnei Hashem lekecha, it all has to be done in the state of simcha. So here we find that there is simcha that is connected to zmanim, to times. There is simcha that is connected to makom, to space, to geography. But it all seems to point back to the same source. Wherever we discuss simcha, it always seems to find itself being related to Beis HaMikdosh. What is the significance of this? Why is it that the Beis HaMikdosh almost is the focal point for a simcha? According to Shittas Tosfos, it is the only simcha min haTorah today. Even according to the Rambam, it is the primary simcha min haTorah today. There is simchas ma'aseh sheni, simcha of eating karbonos, but no matter where we turn, it always seems to revolve around Beis HaMikdash. So the Rav explained that the fundamental yisod, the principle of all simcha, really ultimately relates back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And being in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, being in Hashem's presence, is a catalyst for simcha. It is the very definition of simcha. Oz v'chedva b'mkomo, that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, as we say in the benching for Hashem Baruch Hu, simcha b'mono, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is nothing that detracts from simcha. The reason why we are not in an absolute, total state of simcha all the time is because we do not always find ourselves in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We would like to be, we would strive to be, we say the Pasuk Shavisi Hashem L'negdi Samid, but in reality, the times that we find ourselves literally in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are the moments of great simcha. And being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays out in terms of zman, and it plays out in terms of makom. There are times on the calendar that are designated for being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah gives us a mitzvah aliyah l'regel of visiting the Beis HaMikdash, and even today in the absence of visiting the Beis HaMikdash, the Yom Tov experience is very, very much a time when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are omed lifnei Hashem. Whenever we are omed lifnei Hashem, that brings us to the state of simcha. That is true on the calendar, that is true in terms of our personal visits to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, Ma'aseh Sheni, Korbanos. Ultimately, the mechayev, what creates that status, that halachic status of simcha, is being in the state of omed lifnei Hashem. Perhaps to borrow this principle of the Rav, one can now understand why there's another mitzvah in the Torah that is also always associated with simcha, and that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah always goes hand in hand with simcha. It even expresses itself in the fact that there are certain times when one is not allowed to learn Torah. One is not permitted to learn Torah during Avelus, during Shiva. One is not permitted to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. And the reason why one is not allowed to learn Torah in these days is not so much because Talmud Torah itself is a prohibition of Avelus. Because after all, there are parts of Torah you are permitted to learn. One is allowed to learn the halachas of Avelus. One is allowed to learn the sugyas, the topics of the Gemara that speak about the Churban. One is allowed to learn the Pesukim and Yirmiyahu that speak about the tragedies that befell the Jewish people. Those parts of Torah are permissible. So there's no Isser Talmud Torah per se during Shiva or on Tisha B'Av. What is problematic with learning Torah on these sad days is Pikudi Hashem Yishar Misam Chelev, because Torah brings with it a great joy, and therefore to learn Torah in the state of joy is problematic. This is of course what led to a big question in the poskim. Even when one learns those topics on Tisha B'Av or during Shiva that are permitted to be learned, can one learn in a state of iyun? Can one delve into it? Can one go into the depths of Torah, which inevitably are going to bring one that state of joy and ecstasy? Is that permissible on Tisha B'Av or during Shiva? So one can argue that when we paskin a shaila on what you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av or during Shiva, it's not a question of Talmud Torah versus not Talmud Torah. It's a question of simcha versus not simcha. There are days that simcha is prohibited. If Talmud Torah is the expression of simcha, if your Torah takes on that category of simcha, therefore it is problematic. Talmud Torah is so linked to the notion of enjoyment that even within the bracha of Birchas HaTorah, we actually find this connection. We recite what seems to be a very strange nusach HaBracha. When we begin our day of learning every morning, we start off what seems to be a straightforward bracha, shekidishanu mitzvah simtzivan alasek with the Torah. I understand that bracha. It's a bracha, birchas ha-mitzvah. Seems to be a birchas ha-mitzvah, no different than any other mitzvah. Before we light chanukah candles, before we read the Megillah, before we blow shofar, we eat matzah, we recite a bracha. So we recite a bracha before we learn Torah. And even the end of the Berachas HaTorah, I also understand the Shabbat Charbonim, Yikalu Amim, and Aslan HaStorah. So, after all, Torah is very special, and we have to recite what, according to some, is a Berachas, more of a Berachas HaShevach, more of a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the middle paragraph is somewhat troubling. We're not even sure whether the middle paragraph is a bracha in and of itself or a continuation of the first bracha, but the words seem to be as beautiful, as inspiring as they are, they don't really seem to belong in the nusach of a brachas mitzvah. The harif no Hashem Elokeinu is divrei Torah chol b'fidu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should enjoy the words of Torah. The words of Torah should be pleasant for us. Now, I am all in favor of the words of Torah being pleasant, but we don't usually recite that when we recite a brachas mitzvah. When we put on tefillah this morning, we did not say, Asher kiddishonu mitzvosim tzivah laniach tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us really, really enjoy what we're doing. It's wonderful. Ivdos Hashem b'simcha, I'm all for being in the state of simcha when one does mitzvahs, but we don't find when we recite a bracha of alachilas matzah that we ask in Kadosh Baruch Hu that we should have any particular enjoyment from this mitzvah. And yet when it comes to Talmud Torah, we incorporate into the nusach ha-bracha, and according to some Rishonim, it's actually part of the bracha proper. According to some Rishonim, if you hear somebody making the bracha, you don't even answer amen before v'harei bracha. It's part of the bracha itself. And within the nusach ha-bracha, Chazal instituted the notion of harevna. Why is that so important? So in the Sefer Egle Tal, in his classic Sefer Nuchel Shabbos, he writes in his introduction, he describes the phenomena of a person sitting and learning and really enjoying what he's doing. It's an unbelievable tosis. It's a gavaldika kasha, it's a gavaldika teretz, and a machloika seram and a ravid, and he's having such a good time going through the sugya. You can almost think of tapping the person on the shoulder and saying, that's not really Torah Lishma. You're having too good a time. You're not really learning Torah on the highest level. The highest level of learning would be if you really don't enjoy what you're doing and you're still pushing yourself. Says the Egle Tal, wrong. The higher level of Libra Torah Lishma is the fellow who really is getting the geshmak out of the Torah. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, l'saneg, to enjoy. Lulei serascha sha'ashua, David HaMelech didn't describe Torah as being something that's boring and a pain. He described it as a joy, almost as a toy, sha'ashua, something. He loves it, he's such a good time with it. That's part of the mitzvah, that's okay. Don't feel bad about that, that's a good feeling to have, that you're so in love with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. We actually incorporate that dimension of Simchas HaTorah into the bracha itself. So why is it that Libud HaTorah carries with it more than other mitzvahs that notion of joy? So perhaps according to what the Rav suggested for us in terms of Yom Tovim, we can understand this as well. The Torah tells us in the end of Parshas Yisro, B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi Avoy Alecha V'Rechticha. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises us that wherever His name is mentioned, He will bestow His blessing upon us. Where is Hashem's His name mentioned? So Chazal interpret this pasuk in two seemingly different ways. One refers to Beis HaMikdash, B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi, and Chazal speaking about saying the Shem HaMeforash, the explicit name of Hashem, only in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of Hashem's presence, that's where His name is pronounced. And yet the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi, that refers to one person sitting in the privacy of his own home, the doors are closed, it's late at night, and he's catching up on today's daf. He's learning all by himself. No fanfare, no Beis HaMikdash, no Kohanim Duchening, no Karbonos. That's also B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi, because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name as well. The Ramban tells us in his introduction to Chumash that if you want to know why is it that if a Sefer Torah is missing even one letter of the Sefer Torah's puzzle, says the Ramban, because the Sefer Torah is the Shem Hashem. There is no difference between any letter in the Sefer Torah makes up, that is the essence, that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chochma, that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu describes Himself to us in this world. B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi, when you're sitting and learning your Mishnayos, you're sitting and learning your Bima V'Sedra, you see, you're listening to a shir in the car, stuck in traffic, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi, no less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in the ultimate B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi in Beis HaMikdash. As the Rav explained, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, there is no room for anything else. There is no sadness, there is no stress, there is no distress, there is nothing but sheer, unadulterated joy. And therefore, whenever you have that Shekhinah experience, you have that connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only reaction that is appropriate is Simcha. And as such, there are Simchas HaYamim Tovim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. There is Simchas Ma'aseh Sheni V'Karbanos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And there is Simchas HaTorah, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is here. So to say that Simcha does not play a major role in Avodas Hashem is clearly not the case. You can take a look at the very last Rambam, Inuchas Lulav, where the Rambam describes just how important a role Simcha plays. The Rambam makes reference to David HaMelech being dancing and singing as the Aron HaKodesh was being escorted to its eventual home in the Mokam HaMikdash. And the Rambam highlights the fact that Simcha is an eco part of Avodas Hashem. The Torah says it explicitly. The Torah takes us to task for not doing it. Tachas Hashem lo avadatas Hashem lo kechem b'simcha tuv levav. So to say that Simcha is not a critical part of Avodas Hashem clearly is not the case. However, there are times, as we alluded to before, where Simcha is inappropriate. Not only inappropriate, but outright prohibited. And there are times when we are not supposed to show Simcha. There are times when we are not permitted to be involved in acts that are associated with Simcha. Those times are known to us, of course, as Hilchas Avelos. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos that there are fundamentally two different types of Avelos. There is Avelos Chadosha and Avelos Yeshana. There is Avelos Chadosha, Rachman Litzlan, a new Avelos, somebody loses a relative. So the halacha tells us that they're not permitted to be in the state of simcha for a certain amount of time. And there are degrees as to how the simcha plays out. There's the hardest time of Avelos, of Yom Rishon, the week of Shiva, Shloshim, for a parent to a certain degree, Yud Beis Chodesh, and Yom Nichlas Lebeis HaSimcha, Lebeis HaMishnah. So there are certain times in a person's life where simcha is not appropriate. Simcha is actually prohibited. There is Avelos Yeshana, the ancient Avelos, the mourning of events long ago. What the Mishnah tells us, Bishanichnas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. Comes Rosh Chodesh Av, and one minimizes Simcha. And we have Halachos, and we have Minhagi Yisrael, as to how this plays out. There are certain activities that we refrain from doing. Meaning in Ashkenazi communities, we call the 3 weeks, even going back to Shavuos B'Tammuz. There are halachas b'din ha-gemara that begin on Rosh Chodesh Av. There are other halachas b'din ha-gemara that begin what we call the Shavuot Shechabot Tisha B'Av, the week that Tisha B'Av itself falls out. Of course, Erev Tisha B'Av has its own unique status late in the afternoon, leading into Tisha B'Av proper. Of course, the entire institution of Avelos Yeshana, the Avelos of old, of the events of Chorban. And as we mentioned before, it's not a surprise that on these times, which are associated with times of, which are antithetical to Simcha, that the Torah is actually put on the back burner. Maybe those parts of Torah that don't have that Simcha Salev so directly connected to them in a superficial manner would be permissible, but by and large, Talmud Torah is not the theme of these times in one's life and these times of the year. These are times of great tsar, times of great evil. If we want to focus as to what the goal of these times are, both the Avelos Chadasha and the Avelos Yeshana, so perhaps we can get a little bit of guidance from the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, where the Rambam describes to us that here the Rambam is talking about private Avelos, loss of a close relative. The Rambam describes Avelos in the context of Kavod HaMeis. The Rambam tells us that if we want to understand just how much significance the Torah puts on Kavod HaMeis, the deceased, the one who's not with us now, so the Rambam says, take a look at the model of the Torah of Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. We know that under normal circumstances, a Kohen is not permitted to come into contact with a dead body, and yet when it comes to his close relatives, not only is he permitted to come into contact, but we paskin mitzvah l'tamos. He is obligated, he is required, it's a Torah requirement for him to become tameh. Why does the Torah insist that the Kohen become tameh? Why can't he delegate it to somebody else that he could retain his purity of kahuna? So the halacha tells us, lo diacha, to teach us what kavod hames is, that would be a disgrace, that would be something which would detract from the proper respect and honor due to one's relative, to take a step back, business as usual, just to go through your daily routine, knowing full well that a close relative passed away, and even the Kohen is called out of the Beis HaMikdash and has to be required to be metame himself as to declare this is the proper covenant of Mace. And the Rambam sees in that halacha as the model for all of Uchas Avelos. Why is it that the Avel during Shiva doesn't do such and such? And why during Shloshim do you refrain from such and such? These are not just arbitrary actions, but rather this all creates the picture, creates the model of what it means kavod. To demonstrate, to indicate that the person who is no longer with us, the person who has left this world, was somebody of importance, somebody who had impact, somebody who affected my life. To go through my regular routine in such a way would be the ultimate in disrespect for the mace, and therefore chazavelus forces us, so to speak, to show the proper kavod in the sense of a personal death. And perhaps the same could be said about the Avelus Yeshana of Beis HaMikdash. Why is it so important that Chazal instituted so many different halachas and Minhag Yisrael added on, different customs of Avelus for events which are so old, events that happened so many years ago? I usually share in my shul the same story every year in Tisha B'Av. It's a tragedy with a slight nuance of a tint of humor to it, but it really touches us about the significance of what it means to be Mis'abel in Yerushalayim. Several years ago, so I went to get a haircut the day after Tisha B'Av, and the non-Jewish barber commented to me, you know, I know it's been a tough time for your people these last couple of weeks. Things have been hard. I said, yeah, we had a period of national mourning. And the barber said to me, you know, it's been a few years already. It must be about 6-7 years since your temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And I said, 6-7 years? I said, it's been close to 2,000 years. Couldn't fathom it. 2,000 years ago, and you don't get haircuts? They couldn't, the words didn't exist in their vocabulary to be able to understand what that meant. But we know what that means. The Beis HaMikdash was so chashuv. The pain of the Jewish people at the time of the Churban was so profound that we are not fazed by the fact that we are still demonstrating Avelus Yeshana 2,000 years later. If you appreciate and understand what the Beis HaMikdash was, the loss is so profound that thousands of years later, one still sits on the floor and still says those same kinos. The pain is so great. The Avelus, albeit Yeshana, in terms of years, many, many years has passed, but the kavod due to the Beis HaMikdash and the kavod due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asher Asah Shechina that has been so taken away from us in this world, the kavod, the honor and respect, dictates that we act accordingly and we observe Tisha B'Av even after so many, so many centuries. So we have really almost two different models in terms of what our mindset is. We have times and we have situations that dictate we have to be in the state of simcha. And we shouldn't minimize that simcha. That simcha is critical. If Chazal called Sukkah Zman Simcha Seinu, they meant it. If Sukkah are the days of what the Rambam describes, Simcha Yaseira, the highest days of simcha, the Jewish calendar, so that is an integral part of our Avedas Hashem. On the other hand, Avelus, Tzar, the proper kavod and the proper respect when there is loss that is confronting us is equally significant. It's also a major factor in how we approach this dilemma that we now face. Is there almost a kosav ashlishi? Is there almost a third source? Do we have any model in the world of Torah, in the world of halacha, that almost able to navigate and help us almost balance what seems to be an impossible act of balancing? So we find in the world of halacha that there were situations that happened historically, and there are days that occur annually where we walk a very, very fine line between the grandiose simcha that we associate with Yom Tovim and with other great and miraculous events, and yet the understanding that even in the time of simcha, the simcha is not complete. The halacha recognizes there is a concept of a mitigated simcha as well. The Rambam, when he describes the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in the context of Hallel that is not said on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Rambam paraphrases a very famous Maimon Chazal. Chazal tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and other places The Gemara raises the question, why are we not saying Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? After all, they are Yabim Tovim. We wish each other a good Yontif. So they are Yabim Tovim. What happened to recitation of Hallel? And the Gemara says, we can't do it. You cannot say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It would be inappropriate. You know why? Sifrei Chaim v'sifrei Meisim Suchim Lefonav v'yatemo m'mshira, that the books of life and death are open in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe b'munah shleima on the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the books in Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us. And the words in the Sana Tokef really are true. Kibakaras ra edro, mavritzono tachashifto, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each and every one, kol boy olam, olam lefana, olam lefana f'nei moron. At such a time, v'yatemo m'mshira, can one say shira at that time? Is it possible? Is it practical? Can one actually belt out the words of Hallel that are usually associated with a great exuberance and joy? It would almost detract from the Mi'ei Hadin. It would almost show that the person doesn't really understand, doesn't really appreciate the significance of what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are. And the Rambam, in one very, very small phrase, describes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as different and distinct from the Shalosh Regalim. The Rambam says, Einam Yemei Simcha Yesera. They are not days of great joy. The Rambam counted every word. The Rambam could have said, Einam Yemei Simcha. The Rambam could have said, they're just not happy days. And therefore don't say, the Rambam didn't say that. Because Rosh Hashanah, there is to a certain degree a mitzvah, most probably of Simchas Yontif, one of the proofs that is brought that there is some degree of Simchas Yontif in Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, is that those days actually cancel Avelos. If a person, Rechmon Tzlom, is sitting Shiva before Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Yom Noraim cancel Avelos. And the Gemara Boy Cotton tells us it's the Simchas Hayom that has the Koach, has the ability to cancel Avelos. So you cannot ignore the fact that these are Yom Tovim. On the other hand, we cannot say Hallel on these days because they are simultaneously Yemei Pachad, Nor of Oyim of Yemei Hadin, as Chazal says so eloquently, Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Meis v'Psuchim Lefonav. Staring and looking at the potential of life and death has to sober us a little bit. And the Halacha understands that, and the Halacha dictates that we act accordingly. So yes, when davening is over in Rosh Hashanah, we go home to our families and we have our sudas, we have our celebration. We paskin when it's not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. There was one opinion in the Gaonim that maintained you're allowed to fast, maybe a mitzvah to fast Rosh Hashanah. We don't follow that practice. We assume there is some degree of simcha, but we don't publicize it. We don't talk about it too much. There are actually some Rishonim who have the nusach ha-tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Vatit and Lon Hashem Elkeinu Mo'adim L'simcha Chagim Uzmanim L'Soson. We don't say that. We can't bring ourselves to say those words. Maybe there is a mitzvah of simcha, but it's not the same. It's not the Shalosh Regalim, because Yimei Pachad V'Din mitigate the simcha. Chazal and the Medrash have a similar type of mitigation of simcha in expressing their concern about the recitation of a shira. Shira is usually associated with great simcha. According to the Ramban, the mitzvah of Hallel on Yontif is actually a fulfillment, perhaps, of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The Medrash and the Gemara, each one in their own way, discusses the question in Halacha, why is it that on Shvi Shal Pesach, or for that matter, the rest of Pesach, after the first day, the Chutz La'atz first 2 days, we don't recite a full Hallel? So the Medrash tells us, the famous Medrash, that Ma'ase Yodai Tovim Bayom, that we cannot say Hallel with a full heart on Shvi Shal Pesach, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beings were drowning in the Yam Suf, the Mitzrim were drowning, and therefore, just out of respect to Ma'aseh Yadei Tovim Bayom, we minimize the Shira. The Gemara has a similar vein about the Malachim. The Malachi Asher, the angels, wanted to recite Shira at the time of Kriyas Yam Suf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to, Ma'aseh Yadei Tovim Bayom. So there is a whole question in Halacha and Machshava when we do apply the principle of Ma'aseh Yadei Tovim Bayom, because on the other hand, we do recite Hallel on the first day of Pesach, as Makas Bechoros is happening. We are sitting at our Seder table and saying Hallel. So there's a question, how to understand, how to resolve these different Mamari Chazal. But there's no question that there's almost that notion, it's almost the exact same notion of Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meisim, P'suchim v'Fonim v'Temo M'Shira, Ma'aseh Yod V'Temo M'Shira, that we cannot bring ourselves, on certain times and certain circumstances, to say a Hallel, or at least not a Hallel Shalem, and by definition, by extension, we cannot celebrate a full Simcha. We have to fall back to perhaps a little bit less of Simcha Yaseira, a little bit more of Simcha mitigated by Bepachad Bedin. So I don't know what the correct halachic category is. I'll leave this for the Gedolei Olam to decide for us what this means practically speaking in terms of this Sukkah, so this Yom Tovim. But I think at least conceptually, at least machshava-wise, I think perhaps the approach should be somewhere along the lines of a little bit of a difficult balance, almost probably what the answer to that person who wrote that kina 1,000 years ago was, Eich esmach od b'chag. So the answer was, yes, we are samech b'chag. We do not walk away from that kina and say the question is so overwhelming and therefore we're going to cancel Sukkot forever. We do say Zman Simcha Seinu and Sukkot. And we do celebrate Sukkot, and yet at the same time, we realize Sukkot is not the same. Without a Beis HaMikdash, it's not the Smachta of Hashem HaKech Shem HaZiyamim. We could mimic it, and we'll walk around the Bima, and we'll make Hoshanas, and we'll do Zeich LeMikdash, we'll take our Lula for a whole week, Zeich LeMikdash, we'll do whatever we can to keep the Beis HaMikdash alive in our memory, but we do not cancel Sukkot. So we have to walk this almost impossible tightrope. It is a tightrope we have been walking for thousands of years. This year, of course, highlights that almost impossible mix of emotions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Dishmaya as individuals, as Tzibur, and as Klal Yisrael, to be able to navigate properly the next several weeks, to be able to, on the one hand, Zman Simchaseinu, the significance of Harvin Hashem Elokeinu, the Koach of the Day of Simchas HaTorah, which is a catalyst for Simchas HaTorah of the entire year. And yet, as tragically we see, even just this past weekend, Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meisim P'suchim L'fanav, where Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, all of us included, where the Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meisim are tragically, very, very much literally P'suchim L'faneinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Dishmaya to navigate properly. And we should all have the proper Siyata Dishmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all and all of Klal Yisrael. That Mi'atz Hashem, in a few short weeks from now, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, will be able to kein esmach od b'chag, because usmachtem v'nei Hashem lokechem, the Gula Shleima will come, and it's only that Gula Shleima that will be the sofakates, the Chol Tzara saying, to the end of all of our Tzara, from the Tzara of Churban, to the Tzara of that medieval person who wrote the Kinos, to the Tzara of Simchas Torah, Tavshin, Peidal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put an end to all of our Tzaros, and turn all of our Tzaros, Lebeis Yisrael, Yemei Sasa, B'Simcha.